Hi, I'm Rachel.
And I'm Nicole.
Welcome to the Movement Toward Change podcast. We are using dance as a means to cultivate community and start conversation.
Today, we're honored to speak with Samantha Daly. Samantha is a graduate of the dance program with Alonzo King Lines Ballet at Dominican University of California. She's a certified gyrotonic and gyrokinesis instructor and is taught at Marin Gyrotonic Spiral Studio in the Seed Center. She currently teaches at San Francisco Gyrotonic in addition to a variety of virtual classes. Thank you for taking the time to speak with us today.
Of course.
Could you tell us about your journey to this point and if a certain event has shaped your career?
Yeah. So I grew up in Southern California and was obsessed with dancing ever since I was a child. Before I could even walk, I was begging my mom to take me to ballet. So I started when I was 3, but I started dancing a little bit more seriously when I was 5. And that's when I joined a Southern California-based studio called Ballet Pacifica. And that was ABT training. We had a company associated with it, and I danced there all the way through my sophomore year in high school. And we had a lot of great directors that came through, like Molly Lynch and Evelyn Cisneros from San Francisco Ballet, Ethan Stiefel from ABT. And it wasn't until that closure that I felt like my dreams and plans were starting to shift. So I became very nervous because this was a very crucial point in my training, being halfway through high school and looking towards either a company or college. So I made the shift to go more Viganova training, and that was at VNT Dance. So I was doing Viganova more for the last 2 years of high school, and that kind of led me into a different style of taking ballet. I was more used to the American ballet. So I spent every summer at an intensive all around the United States, and I trained on all of my off hours. I performed in every show that I could. And I was trying to maintain a somewhat normal childhood experience, which, as we know, is very challenging as dancers. After spending nearly my whole life in a rigorous ballet environment, I wanted to grow my artistry a little bit more. So I found Dominican University through the Alonzo King Lines Ballet Company. And I fell in love. I auditioned and I decided that this would be a great place to take my training and kind of round out who I was as a dancer. So I went there and I gained a BFA in dance and a minor in arts management. This program was actually where I first found out about gyrotonic and gyrokinesis. It was such a special program that it was offered twice a week, and that was the cross-training system that kind of got us through. I fell in love immediately and became certified halfway through my college experience. After that, I continued to dance for various companies and causes in the Bay Area, and that was all while I was teaching gyrotonic and gyrokinesis.
So what led to your interest in gyrotonics?
So joining the BFA program with Alonzo King Lines Ballet, the program had gyrotonic and gyrokinesis built into it. And that was a very specific and special situation. So the creator of gyrotonic, Julio Horvath, worked with Deborah Rose, who is a master trainer and the owner of San Francisco Gyrotonic. And it's a special program that San Francisco Gyrotonic has with our college dance in that we would be taking classes all through our 4 years. And then built within those 4 years, you had the option of gaining different certifications to be able to graduate with that final certification of being a gyrotonic or gyrokinesis instructor. So that was pretty special. And I think it's the only one that exists in that way. But ideally, you could leave college with a degree, you have your experience in dance, and then from there, your certification in either gyrotonic or gyrokinesis would lead to immediate job security. You had a job when you left. And that's always very desirable as dancers when leaving a program, you want to be able to work. So that blended itself really well in terms of also being able to dance as well as teach. For Lines Ballet BFA program, it was very new when I first joined. I was the fourth class in its existence in that we were the first class to kind of round out the four-year program. And before that, I honestly never heard of gyrotonic or gyrokinesis. I had been taking Pilates before that, but with just a few classes, I was completely sucked in, and it just made sense to my dancing body and my dancing mind because it did apply so well. I felt that the system left me with a deeper understanding of my body and how I can best utilize it. So I became certified as fast as I possibly could and began teaching in college.
Wow, that's very cool that they kind of had that like program that you could kind of get that certification out of the way in college.
Yeah, definitely. It was very special.
And did you begin taking gyrotonics with a specific goal or intention in mind?
Well, when I look back at what I wrote down joining as an 18-year-old to the program, I laugh because I wrote down that I wanted abdominals. I wanted some abs. I wanted higher extensions, even though that wasn't really a problem for my particular body, but I wanted more. And then I did write that I want strength, and I guess I want to fix whatever poor postural habits I have. That was definitely like on the back burner. But as I've grown and learned more about my body, about dance and about the system, I saw my body in a completely different way. And that was very important because it helped cure all of the injuries that I came into college with, or that I have kind of been pushing off to the side or pretending like they maybe didn't fully exist. So I thought the system was pure magic, and I had different intention as I was going through, which was to gain more postural stability and connections, to gain more flexibility in areas that I actually didn't have. And I think in the dance world, we look for these specific things that we think are important, and as I continue on, I'm realizing that those are not necessarily the most important. So I gained a lot of better habits, I would say, through the gyrotonic and gyrokinesis systems.
I think that's so wonderful that the intention kind of shifts from something that's, you know, about the aesthetic appearance to more like the health and safety and feeling within your body.
Exactly. And like you said, it, the health and safety. And as young dancers, we are not really thinking about that. But as you get older, it becomes very apparent that that matters. And everything you were forcing or pushing through when you were younger shows up later. And so I think the system does a great job of being able to target those areas. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Could you explain the general principles of gyrotonic and what aspects and ideas behind this cross-training form speak to you?
Yeah, so gyrotonic is the overarching system. It's called the gyrotonic expansion system. And it's focused on decompressing the spine, mobilizing the joints, applying strength through elongation, which is why I think it works so well with dance, and being able to move with ease and fluidity. I love that it's detailed yet expansive, so you're not being locked into anything. And it's challenging, but it is extremely satisfying. One of my favorite principles is called narrowing. And we usually refer to narrowing in regards to the pelvis, but this principle can really be used on any portion of the body. It's basically a deep sense of connecting without gripping. And that is why it is so important for dancers, because I think we grip our way through a lot. So this is understanding how to connect in a deeper way instead of forcing through that grip. It's applicable and helpful for every walk of life, but in my work with dancers, that principle in particular is crucial.
So what is the process to become certified in gyrotonics?
Yeah, so we had a different situation because it was through our four-year-long program, but usually to become certified in the level one of either gyrotonic or gyrokinesis, it's about a year. And that involves taking a pre-training, which is learning the movements of the material. And then from there, you can go into your foundation training. And that's where you begin to learn how to teach others. You learn how to cue, you learn what these movements mean, how they can be done on different body types, and just how best to work with the everyday human. So from there, you would become an apprentice. And once you're an apprentice, you have 60 hours that you work through on your own time, teaching different people. All walks of life is the best way to go because you don't know who's going to walk through your door. So you do want to be able to work with someone who is in their 60s, as well as someone who is a young teenage ballet dancer. So all of those realms are who you kind of want to be working with. And then from there, you would take an apprenticeship course, which just gives you a little bit more information and more exercises and a deeper understanding. And then you go into your final certification, which is a 3-day course hosted by a master trainer. And within those 3 days, you're working with other trainers and you're just honing your skills, and then you become a certified instructor. So for the system, for the gyrotonic expansion system, there is gyrotonic, which is done with equipment. And then there is gyrokinesis, which is more of the stool and mat version. So that can be done anywhere. You don't need a studio, but for gyrotonic, you would need to have a studio or someone who has access to that equipment.
Wow, that's quite a training process. It is kind of nice to know that it seems like it's very inclusive, kind of learning how to work with all walks of life, like you said. So that's really cool.
Yeah. And it is very inclusive. The training does seem like a lot, but within that, it's brilliant. It really tunes your eye and you learn so much about your own body. And then with the other people that you're working with, it just gives you more time to get to know them and how to work with these different types of bodies, because all of us have different things going on. And you want to learn how to be able to best serve the person in front of you. So it is a little bit of a process, but with gyrotonic, it's different than a lot of other systems because we are very trademarked. And that is a great thing in that any studio you go to, you're going to be working with someone who's gone through the same training as everyone else in gyrotonic. There aren't these spin-off systems or different ways of doing it. It is very much honed, and that is done on purpose. So everyone has a similar level that they're starting with. And then depending on where they want to go with the work, they can take certain courses that will lead them in whatever direction they would like within that system.
And I imagine such a specified training program like deeply benefits all the students because the instructors very much attuned to what they're looking out for and can guide the students in a way that's back to that health and safety, as opposed to, you know, sometimes you might do another workout method where everyone's just kind of flailing around, which can be fun too, equally as fun, but then you might not see the same benefit within the body.
Exactly. And more than anything, gyrotonic and gyrokinesis are based on principles. So these different concepts make the system. The different movements are part of the creativity of it, but I now know that I can take a ballet class or go into Pilates or go into yoga with these concepts that I've learned in gyrotonic, and it makes my experience so much more valuable and stronger. It's just a different way to look at moving your body. So it's greatly helped my experience as just a normal human being. And also, of course, as a dancer. Yeah.
How do you keep up with the changes and developments within the gyrotonic expansion system?
So there are a wide range of courses that are available, and this system is all over the world. So you can take courses in most countries. And to keep up with our licensing, we're required to have taken at least one course every 2 years. So that's kind of how they keep us all up to date. And some of these courses focus on a specific body part, like your shoulder or the hip girdle, while others are more focused on an advanced workout. Some courses are also geared more towards specific athletes or sports, like say for runners or tennis. There's a course on martial arts. Of course, a course is there for dancing, ballet. But then also some courses are more based on learning certain pieces of equipment, because when you get certified, you're certified on the main piece of equipment, which is a pulley tower. You put weight on the pulley tower and you have these ropes with straps that your hands or feet can go into. And then there's a bench that comes out from it with handles that move in circles. So that's the main piece of equipment. But then we also have these specialized pieces of equipment that you can get certified on and just gain more information. And a lot of them are more intense and rigorous, which is so much fun. But those all require their own course. And then some courses also focus more on certain phases of your life. So there's like a pre and postnatal course. There's a course for osteoporosis, even breast cancer. So we have a lot at our disposal, and the master trainers are coming up with these courses now as the system is growing and aging. So it's continuous. It's always growing. And that's kind of the exciting part about it.
Wow. That's awesome. I didn't realize how many different classes they had that you could take. That's so cool.
Yeah. It's amazing.
Then what was the shift like going from in-person to virtual teaching?
Yeah, to be honest, it was extremely stressful. When I caught word that the pandemic was starting to shut down studios and businesses, I assumed I was out of a job. It's like, I'm done. I don't know what I'm going to do next, but for right now, I don't have a job. And because of Gyrotonic's special trademarking, they do have a lot of rules that are based around how we can photograph or video the work that we're doing and how we can share it so that everyone is kind of on the same page. But as COVID started, I think it became very obvious to headquarters that we need more of an allowance of being able to teach virtually just to keep everyone afloat, to keep the system continuing on, and to keep clients healthy and happy and for the work to continue. So with that, I immediately switched gears from, oh no, I'm out of a job, to, oh my goodness, I need to jump back on. And at this point, I was living in a tiny apartment with the shared space. And I was basically teaching in my bedroom to clients. I was hosting classes through a couple studios I was working with. Through that time, I had a couple dance companies reach out wanting classes for their dancers. And I even at the very beginning started doing work on Instagram Live just to get the word out there. And that was all great and successful, but it was absolutely terrifying because especially with Instagram, I was realizing anyone could log on, anyone in the world. It doesn't matter if it's my family members, if they're schoolmates who have never heard or seen Gyrotonic before, maybe professional dancers that I very much looked up to, different bosses, even old boyfriends. It was just like, wow, anyone in the world can tune in and see what I'm doing. And so there was a lot of fear around that in particular of being seen, even especially if they were out of my industry or not in the know of what was happening. So that was a moment I had to overcome. And once I was able to I feel like it opened up a lot more opportunities. So I am grateful that we transferred to being able to go virtual. And it has now built my business going in towards another direction. So while I'm still teaching in studio a couple of days a week, now that things are opening back up a little more, I also am building the virtual side of my business. So I have all these Zoom recordings throughout the year and a half or almost 2 years of the work that I've been doing with just your average everyday person and specifically towards professional dancers. So I'm actually in the process right now of finishing up a platform that will house all my videos that can be subscription-based or even being able to log on and buy a one-off class. But I think that it will really help just be able to have people sign on and use what they want and need for the moment. So I'm excited for where this has built and grown to, but I never, ever foresaw this path coming my way. So this was a product of COVID for sure.
Wow. I think that sometimes cross-training mechanisms like gyrotonics, Pilates, especially when there's equipment involved, isn't always so accessible for a dancer, you know, the transportation to get there, the cost, so many different factors. So the fact that this can be done from your home, and I'm sure anyone can still get a deep benefit from it, is wonderful. And that's great that you're doing that.
Yeah. And you're right. You don't have access to the equipment. So for the last year and a half, if you were joining me online, it really was mostly gyrokinesis work. Which is great. And that's kind of the building blocks of the whole system, because that was created before the equipment was ever created. So I think it's had a deep and very beneficial effect on a lot of my dancers and clients. So I'm thankful for that. And I think we've all come back a little bit stronger because of taking the time to do it in studio and doing it at home without the equipment. But yeah, it was quite a transition.
Yeah, I can imagine. So we've kind of touched upon this, but maybe there's something to expand on. In what ways can gyrotonic benefit dancers? And are there any specific injuries that you have seen gyrotonic to be most effective for kind of treating or helping along the path to recovery?
So this system is amazing in that it has a wide range of benefits for everyone, but especially for dancers. It was originally created by a dancer, Julia Horvath, and it was created for dancers. So it only within the time from when it began, which was around in the 80s, it has grown to be able to be accessible for everyone. But for dance in particular, it has really revealed itself to be a fantastic injury preventative system. It also can be used as a cross-training system, and that's kind of how I was introduced through the BFA program. It was more that. But more often than not, the dancers that I get are using it for a rehabilitative practice. They just became injured and they need to learn how to use their body in a different way or how to be able to heal from those injuries. So I think that gyrotonic and gyrokinesis really appeals to dancers because it utilizes the body in a similar way that dance does. So it allows the body to move fluidly in all ranges and directions. And these are through non-linear patterns, which is kind of rare. So I personally love gyrotonic for dancers because you're able to go deeper into your body than you probably ever could in a ballet class. It's so hard applying the corrections that are being thrown at you in the middle of a combination, especially if they are to the general class. You take it in, but you don't really have time to figure it out for yourself unless you take the time after class. So with that, there's so much confusion on how to work well. And I think that gyrotonic and gyrokinesis takes the time and applies the principles, the ideas, and the imagery to everything that you're doing. So it allows you to work through the details. You can really break it down. And in terms of using it for injuries, what we're seeing more often than not, I would say overuse is one of the major things that I would see in dancers. And it makes sense because the dance world is very monkey see, monkey do. So a lot of the cues that we're receiving are not always helping us to understand how to achieve the movement or position. Instead, I find it's telling us to do something. So our brains and our bodies tend to do whatever it takes just to get the leg higher or to plie deeper or to crank your turnout more or to push your jump higher. So with that thought process, we tend to overuse, we tend to grip and force our body into basically the ballet aesthetic. We're just doing it by force and because our teachers have told us to. So my main goal is to have dancers who can be educated through these systems to know how to work well and to know what movements is better or more useful. So what moments you can soften instead of tighten, and what moments you can activate or connect instead of only applying grip. And also being able to know the anatomy. I don't think anatomy is taught to us as dancers. We have a general understanding, but we don't really know how the individual body parts or the bones or the muscles, how they work to help us and how they individually work for our bodies. So I really love being able to go into the detail work to talk about how certain portions of the body can move in particular to you and how to get the best from your particular body. So that's what I'm mostly interested in. And that's what I work with my dancers on.
Yeah, I can definitely relate to that monkey see, monkey do analogy, especially growing up. It was just like, how do I look exactly like teacher? Now I think as I've gotten older, it's shifted a little bit more to like investigating what the process is of the movement and less so final product is still important, but equally important is the process of kind of getting there.
Exactly. And I think we, because of that monkey see monkey do, a lot of our ballet instructors have these wonderful facilities and we see that and we're like, okay, look at her foot. It's beautiful. That is quite a point. I need to do anything and everything to gain that kind of arch. When that may not be exactly how our foot works or points. And because we're not learning the skills or learning the ways to go about it, we just force ourselves into that. So I do think that there needs to be a little bit more conversation between different systems that help dancers and the instructors that we have, because sometimes these instructors are just stunning dancers. But then when it comes time to teach younger students who don't know how to work, sometimes the words aren't quite there. Mm-hmm. So I think we're at a place where we're starting to bridge that gap. And that's really exciting to me.
So are there certain muscle groups that you found are often tight or weak in dancers?
Yes, many. but I would probably mention my favorite muscle group, and that is the psoas complex. And many dancers don't even know that that exists in our body. so if I could give a blanket statement about the psoas complex, it would be that generally the psoas in dancers tend to be weak and tight. And that's usually because we, again, overuse the quad and the hip flexor because we just want to get the leg up there. So we'll do whatever it takes to make that happen. And when we feel that tightness, we tend to overstretch that area. And sometimes the stretch is a good idea, but a lot of times it isn't. It actually feeds into the problem. So it's not always the solution. And being able to strengthen the psoas really does a number for the dancing body and to our posture in general. And what I find a lot is that lack of breathing is a major factor in having the psoas be locked up and weak. And it makes sense. I mean, I've seen variations where a dancer is not breathing whatsoever throughout the entire variation. And if you're standing on the side of the stage, you see them come off and they're huffing and puffing, but then they go on stage and it's like nothing ever happened. And that is a lack of control and understanding about how our breath works. And I tend to find that the most amazing dancers really use breath. They use it for their dancing and they utilize it to help their dancing. So that use of breath allows the entire body to participate in a very deep and natural way. So it would really help us to be able to do these crazy or interesting or challenging movements to the best of our abilities. So without proper breathing, our body cannot really function to the fullest. And that pattern can very much cause the psoas to become weak and tight. So I'm really passionate about strengthening the psoas and talking about the psoas because it is kind of a mystery muscle, especially in the dance world, because it's not talked about as much. So every other month, I tend to teach a 3-part dancer series. And I always focus on a particular topic because once again, we're not able to take the time to really zero in and help our bodies in the way that they deserve. So I love being able to go deeper on these 3 classes because it promotes real change. And a couple months ago, I did a 3-part series on the psoas because again, it's so mysterious. You can't really see it. You can't quite feel it when you're touching it. So there's a lot of fogginess to this particular area of the body. And I'm excited to be putting that series up on my new platform in the next couple months because it is so important. And I know dancers are going to want to revisit that work.
Are there any other cross-training methods that you recommend to the dancers you're working with?
I think so many other cross-training systems are important and valuable. It really just matters how you're doing it. So if you're able to find the right practitioners and the right instructors, I think so many are amazing and at our disposal. So Pilates is fantastic. Yoga is fantastic. I think even weight training is amazing for dancers. But it really does matter how you're doing it. And if you're being led to do it in a way where you're just pushing through and not gaining functional cues or understanding how it can help your dancing, then it might not be the right situation for you. So I would say it really does depend on the instruction that you're getting.
Makes sense. Not just to be powering through things, especially if it's causing any like pain or issue when you're dancing.
Definitely. Definitely. We want to steer clear of pain, if anything.
Yeah. Seems like almost a quality over quantity type of thing.
Yes. I love that statement. And I think that that is quite important. It's definitely how you're doing it versus how much. If you're just powering through and have no idea what you're doing, you're not going to see real change. You're just tiring yourself out.
That totally makes sense.
Yeah.
And how often should a dancer be participating in gyrotonic classes specifically?
I would say probably once or twice a week would be a good balance. Because again, we, as dancers, we work so hard. You're constantly moving. You're constantly dancing. So to add in something that's going to overdo or create more tension or stress for yourself, it's not worth it. I think that doing something once or twice a week is a great balance and a way to learn new healthy habits as opposed to just pushing.
And then what can a dancer kind of do in between classes to maintain the benefits that they're getting from practice?
So if you're doing gyrotonic, tonic on a regular basis. Gyrokinesis is an excellent system to add in because you can do it at home on your own time. And there's a whole portion of it that's called awakening of the senses, which is basically a massage or an opening of your body. So it's tactile, there's tapping involved, there's softening certain areas of the body, there's awakening other areas, and it just really sparks the body. It turns everything on in a great way. But within our systems, we do give homework, so that can be done as well. But with every teaching opportunity, we're learning how to move more efficiently, more comfortably, with an enhanced look at how you're moving and why. So that is something that I would look out for if you were trying to do another system, or if you are trying to work on your off time. It's more about how. And I think that's kind of what we've been talking about here. It's more about the how and the why than the repetitions.
Yeah, for sure. So for our final question, what would be your number one piece of advice for the Movement Toward Change dance community?
I would say it's probably how we think, to be honest. It's how we think, it's how we talk to ourselves in our own head. For too long, I have been guilty of saying various things like, oh, I can't do that because my torso is short, or yeah, I just have weak abdominals, so yeah, that one I just can't do, or it doesn't matter how I get there. As long as my leg is up there touching my ear, that's all that matters. And those did not serve me. Those actually held me back from getting to the nitty gritty and learning how to work on a deeper and more intelligent level. But now I realize that I did not know how my body worked. Not really. So I would say find the place where you can activate rather than grip, and try to connect without locking down.
I love that idea of connecting, but not locking.
Because we want to move. So if we're locking everything down, we're only taking away from that greater goal.
Right. It's kind of like having more power within your own movement.
Exactly. Exactly.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time to speak with us today.
Yeah, of course. This was so fun.
If you have further questions for Samantha, you can follow her on Instagram at SpiralingSam, as well as her website, spiralingsam.com. And we'll also put that in the show notes.